tonight. If you got your Bibles, turn back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And if you're able to stand as we read God's Word tonight, Romans chapter 10. We're going to be reading there in verse number 1. I'll read a few verses here. I want to make sure we have our context and understand where we are. Romans chapter 10, begin reading there in verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for the wonderful singing. That was such an encouragement to sing those great songs. We thank you so much for that. We pray for those that could not make it tonight for health or for other reasons. We just pray, Lord, that you'll dispute them, bring them back to us safely and quickly. We pray for our missionaries tonight. We're thankful for them and their labor and their service to you. We pray that you bless them. Lord, bless our services tonight. Perhaps, Lord, there's one even here tonight that's never placed their faith and trust in you. They've never called upon you to be their Lord and personal Savior. We pray, Lord, that even before they leave this place, they make sure their salvation, their eternal life. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. The title for tonight's message is, Are You Correctly Zealous About Being Zealous? Are you correctly zealous about being zealous? Paul here had a great desire, and everywhere he went, he made it a point to get out the gospel to absolutely as many people as he possibly could. Serving the Lord and winning the lost and giving out the gospel was literally his driving force in life. He served and lived for no other reason than for giving out the gospel. Paul's desire for every single person that he ever met, that they would have at least the presentation, at least the opportunity to be saved. And Paul, later on in texts and later on in the books that he wrote, he made an affirmation that I believe would have been true for Paul, that everywhere he went, he never missed a single opportunity. Every person that he came across, he gave them the gospel. And he had a great zeal, a great desire. Everywhere he went, he saw the burning wickedness of the world, and he saw their desire for happiness and their striving and their working hard for happiness, for their work, for fulfillment. And yet it was empty and it was meaningless. Remember when he got to the city and he went to their idolatry and he saw how much they were focused on their idolatry, and he realized that they had such a zeal for an unknown God, and he knew God, and he knew that they were working so hard to achieve really and truthfully nothing, to achieve no hope. And there have been many zealous people down through the ages, and really even more in our world today. We have zeal for lots of different things in our life, and Paul's zeal here was to see people get saved. Verse number 1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It bothered him. It literally broke his heart to know that any Israelite, any man or any woman or any child would pass from this life not knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. But really it goes even beyond that. I believe it really broke his heart to know that there might have been someone who passed from this life that never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that never had that chance to do so. And even with the proliferation of the Word of God in our world today, it's even possible in our world to even find people in America that's never heard about Jesus Christ, They've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a world where there's more churches than really anywhere else in the world, and yet people still never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go to places in the Bible Belt and places like that in Texas and Oklahoma where there's a church, even a Baptist church, and almost on every corner, and yet there's still people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he had this great zeal, he had this great burden and this great zeal. And there's a good zeal, but there's also a bad zeal. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines zeal as this: passionate ardor in the pursuit of anything, an eagerness of desire to accomplish or to obtain some object. We have people that are working as hard as they can to get $1 million. We have people that are working as hard as they can to get that next scholarship. We have people that are working as hard as they can to climb the social ladder, to climb the corporate ladder, to be able to achieve the greatest in their neighborhood. We have zeal for all kinds of different things in life. And really, to have a zeal or to have a work ethic to achieve something is not necessarily wrong. If you would like to move up in a job, there's nothing wrong with that. But too many Christians, zeal for other things rather than zeal for God has taken over and has really begun to control people in one thing or another. Paul, before he was saved, and he gives testimony of this, he had great zeal to destroy the Christians. He was going everywhere the best he could, hailing men and women and throwing them into prison. It was his zeal, it was his focus, it was his desire to destroy Christianity, to destroy the church. And he understood and even recognized that later in his testimony, that my zeal was focused in completely the wrong direction. And the Lord brought conviction upon me. We remember back to Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through 25. Apollos was a great preacher. He was a man of God. He had a zeal to proclaim the word of God. He was a very eloquent man. People wanted to listen to him preach, and yet his doctrine was off, and so he needed some correction. The Bible says as soon as he got that correction, he became an even more powerful preacher of the word of God. It just goes to show doctrine is very, very important. The Crusades, you can look back to history and the Crusades and all that they had such a zeal for. And then you have to wonder, were the motives proper? Were the motives correct? We have different folks who throughout this life have tried to take over the world. We've had world wars because people wanted to become the supreme leader. They wanted to rule the world, and they had a zeal that was focused in the wrong place. We have in our world today, we still have folks that have such a great zeal. And even in our world today, we can honestly say there's a zeal to destroy the very fabric of the United States of America. To destroy the very fabric of the way that we believe and the way that we live. It doesn't make any difference when anybody tells you the United States of America was founded on biblical principles and it was a Christian nation. But there's a zeal today to destroy that and wipe that from history. And zeal can be a good thing. Zeal can be good or bad depending on the motive and the end goal of the individual. Here in our text, Paul deals with the zeal for eternal life. And it gave him a great zeal to see those around him, especially for Israel, receive the true righteousness of God. And if you've ever had a missionary preach, more than likely a missionary has used this verse. And by application, he has put whatever country God's called him to there. And I've used it before as missionaries to Argentina. I preached, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, or for Argentina, is that they might be saved." And by application, I believe that we could do that too. Have you ever had a consideration as you sat, maybe looked out your window and thought to yourself, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is that my neighborhood might be saved? You understand, you might be the only Christian in that entire neighborhood. You can see later on in the text there in verse number 14, how shall they call on whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell them about Jesus Christ. And it takes some zeal to do that. It takes some desire to do that. It takes some burning passion, a burning ardor in the pursuit of seeing souls saved, an eagerness, a desire to accomplish it. And Paul desires this, but Paul also saw at the same time as he looked to Israel and he looked around to his people and he looked to the cities and he looked to going to the different places of worship and the different tabernacles and the different temples, and he saw the Israelite people as they were still doing everything they could to follow the law, and they were choosing to reject as corporate, as a nation, Jesus Christ. And so they had rejected Christ, and yet they still had a burning desire, a zeal to conform themselves to the law and to what God had commanded, totally missing the idea. And the reality is that the law can never lead to righteousness. The law only leads to the knowledge of sin and our inferiority and our inability to obtain righteousness. But they desired that. So first of all, I want to see, number one, the misdirected zeal. Here Paul looked, verse number 2 there, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They didn't know the true God. They had such a desire for it. They were very faithful to it. They were very faithful to it. My father-in-law has had a chance to go to Israel many times, 2, 3, or 4 times. And he's been there and he's gotten to talk to people and gotten to communicate with folks and see all the different sites and see all the different places. And one thing is still true, even constant today, that the Jewish nation, the Jewish people are still very zealous about their religion. But it's not going to take them anywhere. They have a desire for God. In fact, really and truthfully, they've had the Word of God for thousands of years now, and they know the Word of God. And my dad has talked to some of those men, and some of those men knew the Bible better than probably some Christians know the Bible. But yet their idea and their vision of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ was skewed, because they're still looking through the lens of law and obeying the law. And they had such a desire for it. But it's no different between any other religion of the world. I would submit to you today that I truly, honestly believe that there are many that are lost who are following their religion much more zealously than the vast majority of God's people. Much more faithful. We can look to our world today, and when was the last time you ever heard of a mega independent Baptist church? It's been a long time since we've heard of a massive, large Baptist church, but boy, they can sure fill a crowd, can't they? There's a zeal for it. There's a passion for it. They know about God, and they can talk about Jesus Christ. In fact, the Jews knew all of the prophecies, and that they even viewed themselves as righteous people. You look down to verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." They had the Word of God, but they weren't really hearing. They had a knowledge of God, yet they didn't know Him personally. Jeremiah, just chapter 5, verse number 4. "Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God." In other words, they had hardened their heart. They were faithful to everything they thought was right. Every time Jesus Christ talked to some Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these people, every time they tried to talk to Jesus Christ, almost as if they were level and equal with Him, and they looked to Him, and He convicted them of their sin. And even as the young man Nicodemus looked to Jesus Christ, "I've kept the law my whole life." He viewed himself as righteous. He viewed himself as a godly man. But Christ pointed out his sin and pointed out that he was not righteous. No one can be righteous by the law. But there's many churches, there's many religions all around us that have an idea or a knowledge of God, and they're very faithful to it, yet it's leading them down to a road to destruction. It's leading them to the wrong place. The Jews had rejected Jesus Christ, yet they still wanted to follow God. John 1, 10 through 11, "He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. And they chose to remain ignorant." Look at your text. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Because the Word of God points towards Jesus Christ. For verse number 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You see, they had a misdirected zeal and they didn't really know the true God. But the reality was this, that they chose not to know the true God. They chose to remain ignorant. There's people that in this life that just don't like to be taught things. Anybody have a teenager? or have had a teenager? You remember those? Some of y'all hadn't had a teenager in a long time, so it might not be fresh on your memory. But my wife and I are still dealing with teenagers. And teenagers, it's almost like when they turn 16, in their mind, it flips, and it's like they immediately know everything. And so mom and dad can't teach me. And dad is old-fashioned. Somebody else is a teenager, so she's relating with me right now. And they can't be taught, right? Because I know everything. I mean, I have Google, right? The answer to everything. And so they can't be taught, and you can try to help them. You can try to explain to them. Have you ever tried to teach a teenage boy, especially once he's got the block math? I look to Landon, and I say, Landon, put that number right there. Why? Just put the number right there. Where? Right there. Put the number right there. Now what? Okay, just minus it down. How? It's subtraction. Oh. And he's got this block in his mind. I don't want to be taught right now. I don't want to learn right now. I don't want to absorb what you're teaching me. And then as soon as they come 21 years old, mom and dad almost immediately are smart people. They know everything. But for many, it's not that he can't learn, and it's not that young people can't learn. It's that sometimes they choose to be ignorant. They choose to reject teaching. They choose to reject what is being taught them. Why? Because they want to go their own way. 2 Peter 3:5 gives it this way. For this they willingly are ignorant of, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, the word of God clearly pointed toward Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He fulfilled all of the prophecies. There's not a single prophecy of Jesus Christ that was not met or made. He has fulfilled all prophecy, and it fully pointed toward Jesus Christ. And they could look to the Old Testament. They had all of them in their hands. Most of them wrote them and made copies of them. They knew the word of God fully, and it pointed toward Jesus Christ. But in the hardness of their hearts, they chose to reject him. And the same reason why people will split hell wide open and will spend eternity in the lake of fire is not because they don't know, because even creation declares that there's a God. It's because they choose to be ignorant of it. There'll never be anyone that stands before God at the judgment time and says, I just had no idea that there was a God. I just had no idea. Because his creation points toward it. Now the difference is they may recognize, but they need someone to show it to them. But for the Jewish people, Jesus Christ walked among them. They have no excuse. There are no Jews that will be able to tell God one day, look to Jesus Christ one day and say, I had no idea that you were the Messiah. Because he walked among them. He gave witness of them. John in John chapter 1 says, I'm going to give you all the witness and testimony of him. They had him, but they were willingly ignorant of it. And Paul went to all of these places, and he would go within the tabernacles, and he would go to the places where the people were together. He would go to all these places, and he would begin to tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them about the word of God. And it made them angry. They wanted to kill Paul because they were willingly ignorant of what God had already shown them to be. And they had chosen not to do it. They had rejected Jesus' righteousness for their own righteousness. They refused to believe in God and refused to believe that he was the perfect lamb. And instead, they decided to establish their own righteousness. We've heard this phrase before. All roads lead to heaven. It's false. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. But you see, folks will say, well, all roads lead to heaven. Why? Because I want to establish my own righteousness. Worldly religions were established. Why? Because man wants to establish his own righteousness. Proverbs 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And so here was the Jewish people, here was the Israelites, and they rejected Jesus Christ. They chose to reject Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Acts, Paul looked to the people and he says, you have chosen to remain lost. Not because the gospel wasn't presented to you, because you chose to remain lost. Remember the rich young ruler. He was so worried about adhering to the law. And he said, Lord, I've kept everything from my youth. What sins do I have to confess? I'm a good person. And according to the law and what they taught, he was just a good young man. But the God says he missed something. He didn't love others as he loved himself. And so they want complete adherence to rituals and ceremonies. And they chose to reject it. Verse number 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's only one way to Jesus Christ in eternity. And that is not through keeping the law. That's not through being a good person. That's not through doing good for others. You should do good for others, but that doesn't gain or garner eternal life. It's only through Jesus Christ. So Paul wanted to show true zeal. Verse number 4 through 8. Verse number 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Okay, if you want to be zealous toward the law, and you want to garner righteousness through the law, try as hard as you can. Try, try, try. You will fail. But try, try, try. It's not going to get you anywhere. For Moses described, verse number 5, the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But we can see from Scripture that it's impossible to do so. Verse number 6, but the righteousness which is of the faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I want you to understand, true zeal is taking the word of God and not teaching an adherence to the word of God. Should we obey the word of God? Yes. But obeying the word of God will not garner righteousness for anyone. Why? Because it is impossible to live the law. James clearly teaches that if you break one, you've broken all of them. If you sinned in one, you've sinned in all. If you have said in your heart, well, I've never killed somebody, but if I regard iniquity, if I regard hate for an individual, I've committed murder in my heart already. I've never committed adultery, but if I've lusted after a man or a woman, I've committed adultery in my heart already. We've already sinned. I'm not a liar. How many does it take to make you a liar? Just one. Watch TV. You'll find lots of them. It's a joke, y'all. It's a joke. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 through 4 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, can't keep the law, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, was not sinful, he was likeness, for sin condemned in the flesh, that righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so Paul is saying, I have such a zeal to see these folks get saved, yet they're blindly walking and blindly seeking after a righteousness that cannot be obtained. And Satan has blinded their eyes, and they work so hard, and in reality, there are so many even today that are working so hard to achieve nothing. And yet there's Christians that work so little when they could achieve much. But no man could keep the law. If one could keep the law, then he could obtain righteousness. If one could keep the law, verse number 6, then Christ didn't have to come down. If we could have done that, if we could have stayed like Adam and Eve before they had sinned, if we could have done that, Christ needed not die on the cross for us. But he had to. He had to die because we broke the law. The law is our schoolmaster. It shows our true depravity. It shows us that we are sinners. It shows us that we are lost. It's not possible for any person to be able to righteously and correctly say that I am a good person. Why? Because we've done so much wrong. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that is righteous. No, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can't keep the law. No matter how much we could try, no matter how good we want to be, no matter how many righteous acts we want to do, no matter how many times we read the Word of God, my goodness, read the Word of God. But you can know this from cover to cover and still be lost. Still be lost. You can be the most faithful person to church and still be lost. I've led lots of independent Baptist church members to Christ. Led lots of them to Christ. You can give as much as you want in the offering plate. We accept all tithes and offerings. All right. I thought maybe somebody would catch that. But none of that garners eternal life. None of that. You see, we cannot reach any higher height or depth. We can't obtain some higher plane of existence. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Or who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. You see, utopia is not achievable as long as sin exists. And you can be as zealous as you can to be as good a person as you can. Without Jesus Christ, there's no hope for eternity. There's no hope. And Paul looked to the Israelite people all around him, hustle and bustle, working as hard as they could, zealous as hard as much as they could be, to obtain a righteousness that was unobtainable. So Paul says, here it is. Here's how they have eternal life. Here's the zeal that we ought to have. So first of all, we see, verse number one, we saw the misdirected zeal. Number two, we saw true zeal defined. Lastly, the result of true eternal zeal. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, verse number nine, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be shamed. Verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, a true zeal, a true desire, brings a knowledge of Christ, believed in him by faith. We must trust in him for our eternity. We must trust in him to have paid our sin debt. We cannot obtain a righteousness on our own. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can have eternity, the only way that anyone can have a home in heaven, is to know and to believe with all their heart that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived a sinless life and he died on the cross bearing my sin and bearing your sin upon the cross. It's the only way. Now, faith will cause us to cry out there. That word there, confession, means that we confess our sins. The Bible says without repentance, there is no remission. So what happens there? We see that our zeal for the lost, our zeal for that, should bring them from wherever they were working to attain their own righteousness, to know, put their focus on Christ, and to repent of their sin, meaning to turn from that zeal, that false, misdirected zeal, and turn it to Christ. And then by faith, we with our mouths say to the Lord, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for my sin and come into my heart and save me. It's the only way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, we have so many around us that have never heard the simple message of Jesus Christ. It causes that belief. You must believe that Jesus Christ came down to us. You must believe that he rose again for us. I want you to notice an important verse. Verse number 11. For the Scripture saith, you ought to note this in your Bible, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It's easy to find others who are unashamed for a false religion. For a false doctrine. It's getting harder and harder to find unashamed Christians in our world today. Paul didn't care who knew who he was. He didn't care if they didn't like him. He was going to preach the gospel anyway. He knew he was going to look different. He knew he was going to talk different. He knew he was going to act different. And if they stoned him for it, he's going to make sure you got the gospel as you threw the rocks. I would always teach our teenagers who are always wanting to be different. If you want to be different, carry your Bible. Carry your Bible. If you want to be different, dress different than the world. Talk different than the world. We have a lot that are zealous about our 401k, but not zealous of eternity. We have a lot that are zealous about knowing the starting lineup of our favorite football team, but not the Romans Road. We have many that can quote the starting lineup for the Arizona baseball team. I don't know what it is. I know we have one here. We got one, right? Diamondbacks, there it is. But we can't quote the 66 books of the Bible. Boy, we know so many stats. We're so zealous about things. Got to make sure our DVR is full of our favorite shows. But we don't have the same zeal for the Word of God. There's people everywhere. Boy, they're striving to obtain righteousness that's impossible to obtain. And we possess it in our hands. And we have all of our own misdirected zeal. Could I encourage you this way? Would you make a commitment to give out the gospel this week? Have you ever considered it this way? My heart's desire and prayer to God is that everyone on my street be saved. Everyone in my neighborhood be saved. My heart's desire is that Arizona might be saved. Consider it this way. When was the last time you were involved in a church plant somewhere? Being involved in giving, going, knocking. Being involved in giving out the tracts, giving out the gospel. Your friend, your neighbor, your coworker. Man, they're striving for something. And everywhere they go is going to lead them to destruction. But what we have is eternal life. We need zeal for eternal life. We have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Perhaps there is even one here tonight that's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My heart and my desire is that you leave this place knowing for sure that you're saved. Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. He rose again so that you can have everlasting life. Would you come tonight and let one of us show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Christian, tonight, everyone around you has a zeal. They got a burning desire. But what about us as Christians? We have a burning desire to see people saved, to see the millions around us saved. Why not direct our zeal and direct other zeal toward Christ? Could I encourage you tonight to come tonight to this altar and say, Lord, help me to revive my zeal for Christ. Help my passion to burn once again for the lost. Help me to find someone this week. Point them to Christ. There may be some that we know that have a zeal for a false religion that they're trusting in for righteousness. We know the truth that any other righteousness other than Jesus Christ is a misdirected zeal. Would we have the courage to come and say, Lord, help me to have the opportunity and the courage to point them towards Christ? As we stand to our feet, as the music begins to play, as our brother begins to